Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
I popped my bee. I'm going to hear about it when Mike goes to edit this now. You know that, right? I popped the bee.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
I did. It's just, you know, whatever. Happy Sunday. Amanda, happy Sunday. You watching the Olympics? Because I need to talk about skeleton.
Yes, I am watching the Olympics. And that is, yes, it's extremely sketch. Yeah.
So I can't.
Wait, let me say something. So people were talking, I was doom scrolling, and people were talking how there's the two-man luge, but the not a two-man skeleton.
Well, no, skeleton's team.
It's individual.
Right. But
she means they don't lay on top of each other.
No, I'm saying like they have the double luge when they're stacked, but why are there not double skeletons?
So I asked Michael that, and he goes, well, that'd be really gay. Because laying
not
butt to front isn't?
I mean, it's the same thing, just flipped. Like, literally.
I don't know.
Like, they're just
too much downward pressure on the areas.
Probably. I mean, it'd be a big, like, thrust. You
know. I mean, yeah. It's something.
I still am in love with the lady who was like, a lot of these Olympic sports feel like your friend got drunk at 3 a.m. and said, hey, this would be fun. Yeah. And
go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, I believe that, because who said, hey, let's put on some leotards and run down a hill and jump on the sled head first on the ice and see how far we go?
It's not a leotard, though. It's a unitard. It's very different.
It's a leotard.
Did you see the controversy of the curling where, like, he let go but then touched it with his finger?
Cheaters. And the Swedes and the Canadians,
they were, like, yelling at each other.
They were going to have a duel. Like, I was ready for the gloves
to drop. They
dropped
an F-bomb. I was like, ooh, these curlers are intense.
Has anybody else come across the dad of the Olympics? And yeah. I know Amanda's not on TikTok, but...
No, but I've seen him. Like, yeah.
I haven't seen that.
He's a dad from Ohio whose wife passed away when his teenage girls were 15. And he was on a retirement trip in Europe and decided that he had a week left on his retirement trip, and he really wanted to go to Milan, and he wanted to do a day in the life. So his daughter, her name is Bex, she got on TikTok and said, does anybody need a dad at the Olympics? And gave the story of how, like, her dad was looking for somebody that needed content or something, because he really just wanted to go. She had already secured him tickets to things, but he just wanted something to do and a reason to be there. And, ended up working with the GIST, G-I-S-T, and became friends with the three brothers that are there for the female, player.
Yeah, they wear, like, matching suits.
Yeah.
They're wild. Wild. but Bex was sharing on it that he was always a girl dad. They always went to girl sports. Like, they're in Ohio. They would go to the Ohio State women's hockey games, the women's basketball games. Like, he was always taking his girls to women's sports.
That's
so
awesome.
He was going to highlight all the women's sports. Anyway, he's adorable.
Yeah.
Karen said he lost, his phone was stolen.
It was,
but he got a new one.
Saturday morning, I think, and he got a new one. But yeah, just,
I think I've come across him now that you're talking about it.
But his daughter is just, like, you know, like, she shared his backstory. It was really heartfelt. Like, just the sweetest thing. And I guess she came out to him as a lesbian, and when she did, he wrote letters to the Pope and said, because he's a very devout Catholic, and I know the area he's from, and it is a very devout conservative Catholic area, he wrote letters to the Pope saying, you know, I can't believe in a religion that won't love and accept my daughter for who she is. And I was like, damn, that's dad goals right there.
Yeah, it is.
So, anyway, if you're on TikTok, you should check out the Olympic dad. He's our dad now.
Anyway. He's everybody's dad.
He's everybody's dad. You'll appreciate this. You know, my love of office supplies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you met the Staples Badass?
just what was shared in the chat
Yeah,
today.
her name is Oblivion, and she is doing staples, like things you didn't know staples could do. Like, and staples is in her comments, like firing her up. I hope sister gets a raise, because like people were going in. I came across TikToks of people that had gone in, because you can do sublimation, like custom mugs, within an hour at Staples. And so they had a special for Valentine's Day, 25% off mugs. So I saw like a dad going in with his kids in a picture to, anyway,
Cute.
it's like wholesome content. I don't know what happened to my timeline.
That's not a bad thing, though.
No, but I do love a good office supply, so.
You do. You have a lot also.
Ouch.
Although, so I was organizing some of my boxes to try and make some space in our room to get a little more organized of the things that are not getting unpacked. I have like a whole box full of like pens, like not in like a box, like not a huge box naturally because they're pens, but like I had a lot of pens and
No, I have
different
a
styles
lot.
of pens and colors of pens. And that doesn't even include like the felt tips that I have at my office. Like, because I love a felt tip also. But yeah.
I like a pen. I'm a big
I like
fan of an
colored
office
pens because
supplies.
I like my calendar is color coordinated. Like every person in the family has a color, and then like different projects of work have different colors. And yeah.
Real quick, huge thank you to our Patreon members. You're the reason Buzzing About Romance keeps buzzing and occasionally yelling about fictional men or fictional romance books. If you love the pod and want to support what we do, we have a single tier at $5, and that helps us keep the mics on, the episodes coming, and the romance opinions flowing. No pressure, just good vibes, great books, and our eternal gratitude. It's real low key. We're not chaotic or
We
anything.
are not low key, but it is.
It is. The Patreon is low key. We ourselves, not low key. So we did not have a topic for tonight when we started the week last week. I was on the phone with Leah for something for work, and I said something about topics, and she goes, "Well, what's on the schedule for Sunday?" And I'm like, "We don't have one." I
Because we
would
all
like.
know I don't pay attention to the schedule.
I would like to say Amanda and Leah both signed up for the episode to be on it without knowing what exactly we were talking about.
Yeah, nobody is surprised by that, though.
So we were chatting about things like revisiting, maybe retwisting old, topics, or, and we were going through. So on today's episode, we're revisiting hockey romance. Many of us thought the trend would die down. But instead, it's still going very strong. The last time we did an episode that was all hockey romance wrecks, March of 2023. End of February, March of 2023.
So almost exactly 3 years.
Almost been 3 years since we've done a true hockey. Now, we have talked about heated rivalry recently, and we have had hockey authors for happy hours. And of course, I think every trope talk or archetype
Well,
we.
like we did those wedding episodes, and there was like every Kelly Jameson book.
Right. I mean, we talk about hockey a lot. And it's really funny because I was feeling a little nostalgic. I'm going through my feel season right now.
Within reason, like it makes sense why you're in that.
The beginning, when we started the podcast in 2020, that was our big listener base. That is what we kind of bonded over. That was, the OG listeners. They were really hockey romance readers. So it felt like, hey, you know what? We haven't done this in a minute. Let's revisit it. And Jen Ellen says, I just need any and all variations of Puck to not be in the title. Sister.
Did you see her comment before that where she said she has the staple curl blocked for some reason? And she's like, I went to see your videos and found out, not sure why, but past me didn't like something.
That's fair. That's fair. She clicks her nails a lot. She does, has the really long, like, and she clicks at your, and I'll get over it, but I really like her, so, because she's killing it. The Staples baddie, that's what they're calling her. So we're coming into this episode knowing that some of us have read some newer hockey releases. You might not get all the book recs. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. Stanley is like singing the song of his people next to me. I don't know what he's talking about.
That's really funny. Stanley, you're such a menace.
Okay, the snow is melting. It was 54 today. My backyard is a
We have
giant mud pit.
rain.
No, we have mud, and I have super white dogs. Anyway,
They're not so white.
they got a bath today. Ollie came
Gives
in,
me
his
probably a
entire
lot of
back was
baths.
covered in mud. So anyway, we're going to revisit hockey. We might not give you all the new book recs, but we'll talk about some authors that are kind of coming to the top a little bit in recent times. And I don't know. I don't want to say years or months. I don't know. One of the things that we were talking about before we hopped on here. Oh, speaking of before we hopped on here, I promise not to be mean to Leah. Recently, people thought I was bullying Leah, and I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Why did you need to bring that up?
Well, because I
Nobody
just don't want,
needs.
I promise not to bully you, but we're going to fight about something right now.
Okay, but here's the thing. For everybody listening, the whole thing. Nobody was bullying anybody. Like, it is just the way we are.
It is just
It
the
is okay.
way.
Besides, I do not take the comments to heart. So, because again, I not this weekend, but there are have been other weekends since that weekend, and I haven't changed my clothes. So
I mean,
just know their comments did not change my like my business.
it's just like on Wednesday when we put a giant spotlight on Amanda and she had to tell J.R. Ward that she liked her
That's true.
book.
And that was like Amanda's worst nightmare.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But it was amazing.
Yeah, those three different thoughts that I started and never finished. Yeah, it was good.
But it was still amazing because she is quite the force.
She is the force. So before we hopped on here, one of the things that we were talking about is hockey romance. And I said, I believe hockey romance is becoming its own subgenre of romance. I think it's even outpacing the idea of sports as a, like, because Leah had mentioned she thinks it's at first thought it was a trope, and I think I talked you out of that.
Well, when you give me like the Catherine Moon like side of it, then yes, it definitely is a subgenre, but it's a subgenre of the subgenre. 'Cause like sports romance is definitely a subgenre.
Could we
And then I think it
even,
just tears down from there.
but could we even arc it even higher? Like, okay, so we have fiction, we have romance,
Yes.
because that's a category of fiction is romance.
Right.
And then genres within romance would be sports, suspense, rom-com, comedy. And then
Dark mafia,
yeah,
like
the subgenres would then be
they like tear
hockey,
out from
football.
there because it's essentially a giant like triangle until again you break it down like in all of the subs, the sub subs, and then you get to the tropes.
Yeah, I think, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think too, like even when we talk, I forget what else we were talking about, probably like romantic fantasy and all of that stuff, when we were doing the romanticy thing. I think this is something similar. Like you could put hockey under sports, but I think the thing now is you could also put it under contemporary because there are so many contemporaries that have sports or hockey as a job. Like it's not necessarily about the hockey, but you have so
Well,
many
so
contemporaries that have a hockey player in it. You know what I mean? Does
yeah,
that make
those
sense?
are those the hockey adjacent ones that we talk about. So like you can have like a hockey person built into a contemporary world, but if the story itself is focused on the team and the hockey is really prevalent and not just like a side portion of
Yeah, and I
it.
think because there's so much of that, it almost feels like hockey is becoming its own genre because you have it within sports, you have it within contemporary, even if it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with sports, it's becoming so
If you're Kylie
prevalent in
Kent, do you have it in
multiple
your
subgenres.
mafia?
Yeah, so exactly.
So then, if the hockey is the job, so we often see, the hockey hero in the off season in the small town. Hockey's his job, but really team and sport has nothing to do with that story. Would you then say hockey qualifies as a trope at that point?
Yeah, because like if you're going like man in uniform, things like that, like it's the
Yeah.
job placement is the trope. So I think it is the style in which the book is created, whether or not it's a trope or a subgenre.
Almost similar to like cowboy,
Yeah.
Yes.
Western
Right?
versus cowboy even. Because when we first started, 2020, 6 years ago, coming in, 99.999% of the hockey romance we were reading centered around a team. You know, it was the Carolina Cold Fury, the Vegas Snakes, or whatever Kat Mazzara's is, Kelly Jameson's
Sidewinders, I think.
Sidewinders. I knew it was a snake. Kelly Jameson's Aces. Like, we were getting very clear team stories. Like, each player on the team was getting a story. And since then, they've kind of,
It's branched out.
it's branched out from there. And we're going to go back to that in a minute. But first, let's talk about the waves that we're seeing. Because hockey, why has hockey got the sustainability here? Because we've seen football, those of us who've been reading romance a really long time. 2016, we saw tons of football happening and coming out. Baseball, I remember 2012, 2013, there were tons and tons. Everybody was writing a baseball romance. I mean, I think category, there was like a baseball team that went into Harlequin Presents or Harlequin Desire categories. And now we're seeing F1 romances, but I don't think.
I don't think F1 is going to be sus is going to sustain at the this magnitude that hockey does. It's not that basketball, football, baseball don't still get created. We just don't see them in like the mass form of hockey.
So why has hockey, why do they have the staying power instead of just being a moment? Like, you know, we know that after Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce came out, publishers were, you know, desperate for football romances. They hadn't bought a lot, they wanted some. We were seeing call outs for that. Authors were debating, should I switch to football?
But they still weren't doing it, though.
I think that's fizzled, right?
I mean, there's still some, but not because you figure Kaylee Ryan had just started putting out that new football series. Like, and it's not that they're not there. But I think part of the thing is hockey played into the romance side of it so much as well. Like they really like took advantage of it. And the other sports have not done that in the same way. And I think that is part of the reason that it has boomed the way that it did, because they really played into it.
The
I
NHL, you
mean, and
mean?
then we, the NHL. And I mean, with there were some big missteps along the way, but they still were very invested in like the romance side of it as well.
Well, and I'm going to say it because Jen Ellen already brings it up a little bit in the chat. Hockey romance is a predominantly white sport. And so it is easy for white women to write these books. And you know, we're seeing, you know, you talk about like some of the hockey teams really embraced the romance readers, have really encouraged it. And you know, I think the popularity absolutely of Heated Rivalry helped that for sure. But I think overall, books in general seem to be having their moment. And I think everyone, every sport, every store, every retailer, every industry is trying to figure out how to tap in to books.
That's true.
Because I was talking to my friend Melanie, that's the professor at the university, and the very first year she offered romance, creative writing romance, she had 8 students. This year she had 14. And they're expecting her. They have it in there if, you know, potentially she could be writing, offering a second session of it in the fall. So she would be teaching 2 classes of the same thing. And which is interesting, right? Because what's changed in 2 years other than all of a sudden reading is popular?
Well, I think part of it, though, is the fact that there's been so much of the distribution deals in the past 2.5 to 3 years. And so different styles of books have been ending up in people's hands. Like people, because it's more visible. It is a case where it is like, because you figure right now, a paperback, a hardcover, that is what people are consuming more than the ebook. And the visibility factor has made the So people are seeing those styles of books, and it's not necessarily like the hockey books that they're seeing, but they're seeing books that then like bring them back to the rest of the genre. And I think that is a big part of it, because when I walk through Target, like at the end caps of the registers, there's like a slew of romance all the time, and that wasn't there a year and a half to 2 years ago.
No, and so as far as hockey goes, Jenny brings up something. Hockey is an international game, which does give more to work with beyond the US, right? Like, so if we're writing American football, it's really US based. Now, basketball does have a European league, but it's not really
Well,
international as far as the league itself.
no, and you figure football, like there's Canadian, like the Canadian League, there's the NFL, but no place else football is football. Like American football is the only, like everywhere else in the world, football is soccer.
So I do agree a little then with Jenny here that the international aspect does allow for more opportunities. You can also twist to make a story a little more unique too, right?
Yeah. Well, because
I
you get those
also, oh
occasional
yeah.
like green card ones. Oh,
Oh
sorry,
yeah.
Amanda.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I also read something and I forgot to write down where I read it, but one of the things that I read was that also that it's visibility is high, like the public visibility is high, but it's not necessarily as overwhelming as some of the other sports, like in the US especially, because you get the NFL players, you get the NBA players, even the Major League Baseball players to a certain extent, they're celebrities. Like you, even if you don't watch it, you know what a lot of those guys look like, right? And I watch hockey off and on. Like it's not like my main sport, but I don't know what a lot of them look like,
Well, true,
And
because
I think that may play into it a little bit. It was interesting to read. I was
so
like, oh,
do
I
you
didn't really think
think
about that.
hockey lacks the commercial visibility for the individual players that say football and
I mean, you have the big players who like people know their name. Like if you say Sidney Crosby, everybody knows who he
You
is and
know
what he
their name.
looks like.
You know their name. I know the name. No clue what dude looks like. Wayne
Well,
Gretzky, yes, but.
but hockey as a whole, like I live 15 minutes from the one of the Pens like facilities, which somebody got engaged at the facility. Like the guy is not from the area, and Sidney Crosby was like driving home and like sat in like in the parking lot and watched them get engaged. But anyway, but they will go into the Target that is like right near the like thing, and I don't have a clue who any of them are.
Yeah,
Their uniforms
exactly.
kind of help, and they are not as face forward. And I've not watched a televised NHL game in a very, very long time. I might have a couple years ago, but it's been a very long time. But you know how, like, in the opening rolls of a football game, they'll be like, I'm Tom Smith from
Yeah, they
the
don't do
Ohio State.
that.
I don't think the NHL does that.
And then that's the other thing too,
Well, and
is
baseball
like
doesn't either.
with football too, you also get like I know a lot of these players from college. Like I've known what they look like since they played college. Like college
Yeah,
football is very
college.
visible here too. So it's like I think football lends itself to that kind of celebrity. And then, when we do football books, you have a group that kind of stick together. You have the quarterback, maybe his offensive line, his wide receiver, his running back, and then you
But I
have your
will
defense. But
say,
hockey is like a team sport more, I think. And I think somebody
but
said
I
that in the
will
chat too.
say,
Stacy did,
if
yeah.
you really look at it, there's a lot of college football books,
Well, the
but
yes.
we don't necessarily read the college books, and so that's why, but college football, there are a lot of
Yeah.
books, but it doesn't get the type of attention because they are new adult.
If we also think about hockey this way too, there are a lot of smaller teams in smaller communities, not pro teams, but they're
Yes.
the feeder teams. So, like Toledo has the Toledo Walleye that feeds directly into Detroit Red Wings.
which feeds to small town.
Well, so Finley is getting a what they're calling a semi-pro hockey team that will feed into the walleye.
Oh, so even smaller.
So even
It's like okay.
smaller. And like, Finley's like, our county is maybe 120,000 people. But we have an ice rink because we do have a hockey program, and Bowling Green has an exceptional college hockey program. So like,
Well, it's almost like baseball where they have different tiers of teams. Like they have like double A, triple A, and then it's like MLB.
But a lot of colleges that used to have hockey teams have gotten rid of them because it was so expensive, ice time, practice facilities.
Well,
I mean, Finley had a hockey team and they ended up, but BG still has one, but so many others have.
but Karen makes a good point. The NFL is making college, or like the college leagues make college players well known before they get into the
Yeah,
NFL.
100%.
Because you figure, like,
Well, that's that
Fernando,
new.
like everybody knows his name. Like granted, like he won the Heisman and that like whole thing, but it's like people have known his name for a couple years because there's such a televised side to the
Well, but
college
it's that new
football.
policy, that NIL, where they own their likeness and can become more like
They can get paid now.
they can get paid for stuff and sponsorships. They don't have to
And
keep
yeah, and
amateur status.
before all that money went to the colleges. Like anytime they were using them, promotion, anything like
Yeah,
that,
because
they
they got
weren't
in a
getting
lot of
paid for
like
that.
they could get kicked out, like kicked off the team if they got caught getting money before. I
Okay,
know I love Fernando.
so we kind of touched on it a little bit. Hockey romance just isn't one thing anymore. It's not just team stories, right?
Yeah,
Um,
no.
you have authors expanding it beyond the original formula. Doesn't mean we love it.
No.
Doesn't mean we're picking those up. I think my favorite is always going to be the team dynamic ones. I am
Same.
forever going to love Cold Fury. I am forever going to love those Chicago Aces and the New York Bears
Vengeance.
and the Boston Hawks or whatever, whoever. Elise Faber, her Goldens. I'm
Oh, I mean, really, any of Elise's
any of
hockey series.
Elise's. But
There's so many.
I'm going to love those team dynamics first. So one of the things that we have seen since the last time we covered was the increase in the why choose hockey.
Really just the increase in the why choose in the contemporary side in general. Like, I mean, why choose in itself has had a big boom.
it has, but we've seen a lot of hockey why choose.
We have,
And you know,
yes.
years ago we used to joke, like with Sawyer Bennett, we would joke and say, well, what if there were, a couple of guys in the locker room that, had a girlfriend together? And she's like, no, I don't see that happening. And then we have Emily Rath, who comes out with hers, and there's Emma Fox. I mean, there are countless others. But those feel different, even though it's a team, right? Like the Emily Rath ones are the Jackson Rays, and the Emma Fox ones are the Chicago Racketeers. Those still feel different
Yeah, but
because they're
it's
not
but
always
it, the
all
whole
hockey
sh
players.
well, and I think that's the thing, like with Emma Fox's, like there's maybe like the one grouping, only one of the guys is a hockey player, one is the owner, one is like a
Team
business owner.
doctor, team doctor.
But they have multiples, so like there's different dynamics, but only like one typically of the guys are the hockey player. So it's like you have that hockey side of it, but then you have all these other pieces pulled into it as well. So it does change the whole dynamic
Do you
in like the
think the
story.
fact that so like we have seen in things like football and baseball, the rules feel like they change or get additions added to them every year, like penalties or
Well,
replays.
hockey stuff, it changes too because like they've added sudden death, they've added replay, like
Okay, so it
replays have
does.
adapted. Yeah, it's continually changing as well.
I think all sports are at this point.
Are they? Because hockey just feels the same. Like, I feel like I can pick
It's
up a
not
book that was
though.
written in 2014 that's hockey, and it still feels contemporary.
Yeah, but I think it's the way in which the rules have adapted. And like I said, the sudden death and like overtime stuff like that, like has been like 10 years now, but not a lot of people write it into the stories. And I think part of it is like you can still take liberties while still keeping to the heart of the sport.
So we see lots of hockey heroes in small towns. These again are some of my least favorite ways.
Well, it depends on how it's done.
I just
At that point, it's not a sports romance to me. That's that leans more, that's a trope. That's his
Well, that's
job.
true because
Like,
Brighton Walsh has one
you
where he
know.
plays hockey and he comes home to his
Yeah.
small town. So it's like the hockey is just his job. Like it's
Yeah.
off season, so like
Yeah.
he's not
Well,
playing at all.
I
Yeah,
read
so
that Lauren Morrell one, and he's home for the summer. And in the end, they go back to Chicago together. She doesn't stay, and they plan to come back every summer, but she moves to Chicago with him. But we've seen ones where, he stays.
Well, like the Brighton Walsh one, he retires. I mean, he's been playing for, I think he's been in the league for like 10 years. So it makes sense that he's like in that like time frame of retirement. But yeah. But yeah, Amanda's definitely right. Those are not hockey romances. They're contemporary or whatever like
Small
subgenre they
town,
are,
with hockey being a
with
trope,
hockey like as a trope, because it's a job,
yeah,
like we said, because like the way in which the book is styled depends on whether it is a hockey romance or not.
and I actually had a conversation recently with a client. She was kicking around a hockey series in a small town, and I'm like, it doesn't work. If they're professional players, they cannot live in a small town unless it's like they live in New York City but are living in Long Island. But I don't even think it works in a town like Denver.
I mean, it really kind of depends because, like, a lot of the players for the Pens, they don't live in Pittsburgh, but they live in the burbs of Pittsburgh. And so, like, some of them, like, but it really kind of, de but I wouldn't say a lot of the suburbs are really small towns because the suburbs are like big. Like, a lot of the football players live in Wexford, but Wexford is not a small town. Like, I live in a small town, Wexford is not, but a lot of
Yeah,
the
and I think
Steelers
that
live in
goes back to
Wexford.
like, what are you calling a small town? Like we did the episode and we talked about what's
It's
the
true.
population, what's, does it have an airport, so at that point it's really like, what are you calling a small town? Because I think you can do those hockey books where you have like them live in a smaller like suburb of a larger city, and I think you can make it feel small
Like
town, but it's not.
Samantha Whiskey, her Seattle one, they all lived in the same like plan essentially. So it's like it had this small town like vibe to it. In the sense where, like, they all lived in the same area and, like, were neighbors, but it was not small town because it was a plant, like a development in Seattle.
And well,
But she never classified it as small town either.
she does that in her Carolina series also.
And I think a lot of authors do that, and I think it works. Like you can say small town vibes or whatever, even the found family, the kind of community situation, but I think you can get that without calling it that.
I really struggled, and we've talked about this series a couple of times. Gina Azee, she took her Boston series and spun it down to a Tennessee series, but she didn't place the team in Nashville or even Memphis. She put them in Knoxville. And if you go to Knoxville, it's a college, and then it's Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Like, it is not a big metropolitan area.
No, I'm from Tennessee, so, but
Yeah.
yeah, it's, I
And
mean,
Knoxville itself could not support a pro hockey team, a pro football team, a pro soccer team. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a lot of pro in.
I mean, you're stretching it there. I mean, Nashville, yes. Knoxville's very, you're limited on area. Like, you're easily out into a suburb
Well,
at
and
that point. I
you would
mean,
have to question if the league would even like approve something like
well, because
Knoxville. I would not.
Columbus has the Blue Jackets. Knoxville and Columbus are very similar, except Columbus does have sprawl because we don't have mountains. We are flat. And they're buying up, cornfields and stuff like that. And Cleveland has tried for years to get an NHL team. They've tried for years. And it's always, well, you've got basketball, you've got football, you've got baseball, but would you really have space to put an arena somewhere that's, I mean, if the Browns move out by the airport, then yeah, you could just have one right there on the lake. It's
If the
delightful.
Browns left once, they can leave again.
Right. But also the way that like Gina writes that she tried to get this small town vibe, but it was only a 5 minute drive into the arena. No, not in Knoxville. At least not the
There's
parts of
no, you're
Knoxville.
not driving, going anywhere in 5 minutes in Knoxville. I can tell you that.
No. Another thing, oh, Bonnie says because these pro players haven't lived in that town since they were 15 or 16 in reality. And she's
Yeah, a
not
lot of them.
wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so some other iterations of hockey romance. We've seen one of our current favorites, Lindsay's a little obsessed with, is Erin Nicholas's her bonkers hockey. I don't know what else to call it because that's what we've
Well,
been
it's,
calling it.
I mean, it's a Savannah Bananas meets Parks and Rec, and
Yeah, but
like,
hockey on ice.
yeah, but on ice.
Which is fun. I would love to see more iterations of sports romances that are just a little bonkers like that.
Honestly, I want to see that in real time.
Well, go to a Savannah Bananas game, friend.
But I want it on
And
ice.
then there are a couple of people. So AJ Truman has a beer league hockey. So the everyday guy, and there is a team. It does have a team vibe to it, but they have other jobs too. But I would classify those as hockey romances even more than the small town ones
Yeah,
because
but
they're
it
like
has
in the
like a
city.
different, but it's a different feel because like it for beer league, like it's a bunch of like dudes coming together to play hockey, but they're still living their lives. It's like they're playing games at 11 o'clock at night when they can get ice time.
Right.
You're getting the team dynamic there, right? So
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's a big important part for the hockey with me is like, you're getting one book and it's one player, you're getting another book and it's another player. Like you're not going from the hockey player to the fire chief to
Right.
the, whatever. I think
Yeah,
that's
you're going
a
around like the D line and then like
yeah,
the goalie.
I think that's a defining characteristic for the hockey for me. Like if you're getting different
Yeah.
players, regardless of whether it's beer league or it's banana league or whatever you want to call it, like it's that's still
We
the
just need
sport is
multiple players,
yeah,
yeah.
the sport is still like a main part, like and you're getting that team dynamic.
The series needs to feature a different team player or a different person that is relevant
Yeah, a
to the
coach
hockey, the team as
to
a
the team,
whole.
yeah. Like
Yeah.
even if it's like the coach or like the manager or whatever, like
Yeah.
the I mean in the beer
The
league it'd be like
doctor,
a
any that,
rink
like anything
manager,
really.
but they have to be connected like to the team, like immersed in the team.
And I think that that's a really good way to differentiate between is this a hockey romance or does this just happen to have a hockey player in it?
Yeah.
So I think that that's a good way to kind of help categorize those. So let's talk book recs. Is there any hockey romances that you have read in the last couple of years? Authors that you were surprised by? I really have enjoyed Lauren Blakely. Her books are chunky.
They're so
They are
chunky.
very chunky. But I've really enjoyed her current series that she's been doing, the Seattle Sea Dogs series. I really have. Because she has a really good balance of hockey. Each book is a different hockey player. So she does a really good job of balancing hockey, but also her shenanigans, rom-com funness. They don't all feel the same, but they are chunky.
Yeah.
That's the nicest thing I can say. They're just sometimes I wish she'd cut a couple hundred pages out. I am liking the Toronto Terror series that Helena Hunting is writing right now. I didn't love book one, but I have the final book in the series that comes out later this month on my Kindle as an ARC, and I'm really excited for it. They're not as crazy as the ones, the Pucked series. I mean, that first one was, but the others haven't been. There's some moments in it I kind of am like, did we really need her to peg him? Like, why was this in that?
Yeah.
It felt like there for shock value, but I am enjoying those books. Leah, did you read the Ainsley Booth?
I did. Yeah, and they're good because I mean, it's a solid story. The hockey is correct, which is a big thing for me. I've enjoyed what I've read so far. And then Sienna Trapp, who like she's writing Mafia now and has done Small Town, but she has a small hockey series, which actually spun off into her Bellini series, which is the Mafia series she's really just finished releasing. They're not bad. Like, there's, she's been writing for a little bit, and there's something about the stories that I don't always love, but I think her pacing is a little bit off. But overall, like, she, like, the characters are decent, like, and things like that. So she's one. And then I read another one, but I can't think of the author's name.
What
I'll
about you,
come back to you.
Amanda? What do you got?
I think I haven't read a ton as we've talked about, but I do really enjoy Piper Rain's Nest series. Like that's been probably, we read those for Sip and Discuss and everything, but I do enjoy the way they write, all of their sports stuff. Like those are solid for me.
Kate Mather's new
Yes,
this new
so
Sh
good.
Chicago
So
Rebels.
good.
So good. I think there's a new one that comes out on the 26th or the 27th, because I
Yes,
think
next
she's
week
an end of
sometime.
the week releaser. Mary Carr has written a hockey series.
Oh,
I
yeah.
didn't love book one. I haven't read book two yet. Book one was just, it was friends to lovers, and we know that that is something.
I mean, that's never a good thing to start on like a series with you. I read B.H. Nicholson, her Frozen Flames book. That's the one I was trying to think
Oh,
of.
yeah.
So it's he is the coach, and she like his and like he is married, but the whole it's a marriage and crisis story, which I really enjoy those, or I
Yeah.
really hate those. But this one was done well because it was basically like these two people like just passing ships, like he's so invested and she asked for a divorce and all those things, and it's just them like realizing and learning the balance of having that. And then that series did continue with some of his players. I have not read the rest of them, but I did really enjoy that book one.
Danielle likes V.H. Nicholson a lot, so.
Holding by Alexander House. So one of the things that I do think is interesting is we are getting some authors of color writing hockey romance, which I'm here for it. So Alexandra House is her series. It takes place in St. Louis. Chef's kiss. Like,
Well, I
read
mean,
them. And the
she writes a
audiobooks
solid book no matter
are
what.
phenomenal because, it's
Does
Wesley.
Chabon do those
Yeah, it's
ones?
Wesley
Yeah. Or
Chabon.
Wesley Chabon?
Yeah. And then Jocelyn Soto. You know, her the hero in the second book is Latino.
Yes.
Right? The
The
heroine in
red line. Yeah.
Redline.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I will
I
not mess with
couldn't think
those.
of the name of the book.
Well, those are Amanda's, like, she loves those books, like.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, especially book one, because, I'm Accidental Pregnancy is like not my favorite. And I love Blue Line so hard. Like,
Yeah.
I like love it. But
It's
yes.
true. You do tr steer clear of those usually.
Yeah, but
But
there was
I
something
love
about
that
that
book.
book. It worked.
Jocelyn writes a really solid story.
She
Yeah.
does. She does.
Did you see she's like teasing that the book is going to be coming out sometime soon? The next one? No, but like I think it actually is this time. We'll have to message her, be like, is this happening for real?
We've seen hockey enter into a little bit of the dark romance too. Well,
Yes. Oh.
Kylie Kent. I don't know.
So Kylie Kent's are mafia with hockey players. Like,
But that's their
but
job.
here's the thing, and this is something that Becky and I have talked about since we've read them. You do not go into this book expecting the hockey to be correct. You go into it expecting it to be amazing because it's Kylie Kent. And the hockey is just a side element.
The last one I read where there's like the Stanley Cup playoffs and there's like a shootout in the middle of the playoffs. I was like, really? Really?
But
You have
again,
to
you don't
suspend
go
a
into
lot
the
of
stories for the
belief.
hockey.
You suspend a
Yes.
lot of
Karen says
reality.
she thinks. Yeah, well, but Karen says she thinks Victoria Denault should be talked about more.
Yes.
I agree.
I agree. She's one that doesn't. And she's now currently the series that she's writing is more family forward than team forward. But I do enjoy Victoria.
Well, in CR Jane, you have the stocking and the over the top stuff there and
The Claire Contreras
yeah.
one.
Oh yeah, that one was
Until
good.
I is it Until I Get You?
Yeah, until I get
Yes.
you.
I worked at the bookstore yesterday because they
Yeah.
had just for a couple hours in the morning, they had the book limo that came in and I was helping
Oh,
Britt.
that's right.
Anyway, I sold four copies to people just by saying, well, he stalks her and then blackmails her. So
There you
like
go. We like a good stocking. We do.
and the CR Janes, yeah, there is something the way she writes those books that you're, yeah. One
I
of the
mean,
things, and we talked about Lauren Blakely's being chunky. Like, I actually really liked Becca Mack. Like, I enjoyed the story.
was just too long.
It
Well,
was
and the only
too.
one of the only one of those books has a hockey player. It's like it's a it's not a hockey series.
It's not a hot because everybody like if like I was just doing some searching on
Yeah,
Instagram and
she always
hashtags,
comes up as a
she comes
hockey
up as a
author.
hockey author.
I don't think so. Like I actually like I haven't read them all, but I'm pretty sure like not all of the books are about hockey players. I think
Okay.
it's really just Breathe With Me.
I'm
Maybe
gonna
I'm
look
wrong. Maybe I'm
because I'm
wrong. And I
curious. Look
really
now
because I'm probably wrong.
part of my problem was is as I read that book, you know, we're on the sixth back and forth
Yeah.
moment, and I just want to be like, we didn't,
Okay,
you didn't
book
need us
one
to tell us all
is
these.
hockey.
Okay, then I'm wrong. I'm thinking of something else
That's
then.
okay. No, book two is hockey.
Okay, ignore
Book
me.
three, yeah, the whole playing for keeps series is hockey.
I'm thinking of something else.
That's okay. It just, I struggled with it because it was overly long. And as an editor, you can go back and forth six times, but you can infer it without
Yeah.
having to show it to me from top to
Yeah, like
bottom.
it's 465, like book five is 465 pages. That's too much
It
book.
doesn't. Anyway.
And as somebody who is having a really hard time finishing a book right now,
Yeah.
there's no way I could do that. Yeah,
That's
it is the
my.
same conversation over and over again, then very little side stories that didn't lead
Is
anywhere.
it Avery Keeland?
Yeah, Avery Keelan, hers is very. It's long and wordy, but I will say, like, after talking to her and learning she was a Wattpad author, it made sense. Right?
Oh, because you
That's how she got her start. Like, she was a paid Wattpad author, and this was one of her, like, her offside was one of her Wattpad stories. So the length of it and like the way that it played out, it definitely made sense
yeah.
that that's where it came
Right,
from.
because
'Cause
you
it
make
definitely,
more
like, they
money
just,
for the more episodes than you
and it was
do.
just ongoing. But
Yeah.
like, and honestly, like the writing and the storyline, I really enjoyed the characters. It just was so much book.
I don't
Like, I
love.
just didn't need all the breakups and all
Yeah.
the coming backs and all the things. Like,
Well, and there are some staples. You know, we haven't said anything about Natasha Madison. She, you know, writes a very solid hockey, but I guess, would we say it's hockey though? Because that's much more a family series that's a hockey dynasty than
Well,
actual. Because we don't get
there
all the
are a lot
team
of
members.
hockey, but there's a lot of hockey players. So I think with her, it's one of those ones where you have to question it because, like, a
Yeah.
lot of the family does play hockey, but they also focus on like the ones that don't play hockey. But those ones aren't technically in the hockey series, they're in
That's
the other
the last
series.
four that
Like, the
no.
way that she breaks them up is it's
Yeah.
usually hockey players.
And
Like
then something
four hockey
else.
players, and then she goes and does four something else. Like, and then she comes back to the hockey. So it's one of those things where, like, She has hockey books, but she also has the other, so.
And I think the way she breaks it up, you can say that she writes in chunks of hockey. Like
Yeah.
I would categorize the groups that she writes in that are hockey
Because
players, I would call them
the group right
hockey.
now is hockey.
Well, except there's usually a one-off where they're not hockey. Like we had the one,
Fucking Nico.
well, but he was
Well,
the
I mean, he's
owner,
the
so I
owner.
would
He's an
count it.
agent.
And Becca was the agent. No, I'm thinking of the next group of four with the
Romeo.
Hollywood Romeo, and then
Oh, yeah.
in that one also you got the doc and the sister that was the social worker.
But I wouldn't call those ones like
But they were in the chunk of hockey.
But they were they but the way she released them, they were separate. Like
No,
they came
they were in a
after,
four.
didn't they?
No, they were in a four. Because they're in the same four with
I'm looking because it's gonna bug
the
me.
one brother.
Well, I would just say that one's not hockey. Like that chunk, like she, I mean, it doesn't have to be like every other one, you know, but I'd say the ones where she releases the chunk in the hockey would be hockey. But overall, I mean, she's kind of both. Like she's one of those rare ones that I think she writes enough of it that you can call her a hockey author while also being like a found family, like contemporary. Like I think she writes so much of it that you can't like exclude her
No,
from
I
that
don't think you can
conversation,
exclude her at
right?
all. No, not at all.
Well, and the ones that, but like it was only one of them played hockey in that grouping.
But it's
Like
just,
Xavier played it, but he was no longer playing. And
It's just one
so
of
it's
those
like,
that, like, there are some that kind of defy our own rules. So, like, Natasha, I would say that's a hockey series. Those were hockey, or the hockey family itself played into that chunk of books. But it wasn't necessarily hockey. Like, like there wasn't first person player moments.
Oh,
So, like, they
yeah,
weren't on
Karen
the ice. There
says.
was no like on the ice like stuff happening.
Serena Bowen's another one that does that. Kind
Ooh.
of.
Her Brooklyn hockey series is real good though. I like it a lot.
The way she intersperses her series, like, it's kind of.
Well, yeah, because she did that with her Moonlighter. He had played for the New York team or the Brooklyn team, but ended up injured and then goes to work for his father's security firm. So she kind of does that too, where some of the books aren't, they might be, they were hockey players, but they're still connected to that hockey,
That world,
that world. Okay. So that's our thoughts on hockey, just to give you a little update. I don't know. I don't know that we told you anything new that any of you didn't know before.
Well, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we educated them on something new or not,
I
because
think
we
we
wanted
like
to talk about it.
explored it differently than we have
Yeah,
normally. So,
yes. Okay. So it's that time.
it's that
That
it's that
time
time.
for book
Book of
of
the week. Book of the
the
week time. Amanda, what's your book of the week?
week. My book of the week is Love for Hire by Nikki Castle. I had an arc of it. It comes out the 23rd. This is separate from her original like MMA series. This is a standalone. It's the start of a, well, it's not, it's the first book in a new series that's going to have three brothers. So it's not a total standalone. It's just separate from what she's written. But the hero in this one is an MMA fighter, but this is one I would not call an MMA romance. It's his job. This is about Nico and Scarlett, and she is actually an escort. And they
Ooh.
meet because he is, you know, he's kind of lonely. He's getting ready to go into a big fight. He's been dating. Nothing's really been working out. Another person kind of gives him a card for this agency. He meets Scarlett, who is also just kind of lonely. She got into this when she moved to New York City to make money. And, you know, it's just, they're so sweet. Like, I don't even know. Like, it was, they were so sweet. They were like vulnerable. It was just like, they were so lonely, and I was just so happy they got together. I don't know. It was like I read it and I was like, oh my God. Like I don't know. It was
Well, and doesn't Nikki Castle put you a little bit through the emotional wringer when she writes?
she does. And usually it's like she's like ripped my soul out. And that's not, it wasn't this. There was like a lot of vulnerability, and there was a lot of like, oh, I feel bad for them in a certain way, but it was just It was easier on them, I think. And
Okay.
I appreciated it. Like I needed it. There's spice with her being her being an escort or whatever, but and she doesn't kiss. She has the no kissing rule, so a little bit of the pretty woman side of it. I liked it a lot. So it comes out the 23rd on Kindle Unlimited.
Which
So
is a week from Monday, people. If you don't
yeah,
have it yet, it's a
so
week from Monday.
it's soon.
Okay, Leah, what's your book of the week?
Mine is a book called Neon Vows by Jessica Gadziella. So she's an author. She puts out a lot of books. They're always on the shorter side. This one, 225 pages. So it was like
Perfect.
my perfect sweet spot. I will say with hers, like a lot of her worlds are connected, but she actually keeps them very like organized and straight, and it doesn't bug me. But this is Lena's book. She is the daughter of one of the characters from, or like the characters are her MC series, but this is a, it's like written separately, just in the same world. So Lena is a professional poker player, but she doesn't have a like a house. She basically like couch surfs like when she is home, and she just is kind of doing her thing. But it's a wake up married, wake up in Vegas,
Oh,
and
nice.
a good chunk of the book is her trying to get a divorce or an annulment, but her husband Harrison does not want said divorce, and he basically tells her no. And he is a billionaire and like owns a company and like, but didn't have the best like family life. And it's one of those books where it was all in her point of view, but I was okay with it. I mean, we did get the epilogue in his point of view, but the way that it played out, like she, it's all about her growth and like why she doesn't want to settle down and why she doesn't want to like buy a place and like all these things.
Yeah.
And it's like she had a really good like upbringing. Like, yes, she was raised in the motorcycle club, but like, but there was a lot of love and care and all those things. But she just is like unsettled. But then, as like at one point, she moves into his penthouse and she's kind of messy and she's like, well, I'm going to make him like hate things so he'll sign the papers. But it's like, so it just, there's some funny points to it too. But I just really enjoy her stories and the fact that they are short and sweet.
Yeah. Reading is still a little hard.
Hard. Yeah.
So I did go back and I s started reading the Men of Haven by Rhona Morgan. I
Such a good
did some
place to
Breta
go.
Jackson category because I'm going to be a Westmoreland when I grow up. A sheep farmer from Colorado or Wyoming is coming to marry me. I just know it. But I think Rhona is so underrated. I don't know why
She really, really
people don't
is.
read more. Claim and Protect. It's Trevor and Natalie's story. He's kind of cowboyish,
I
westernish.
love them. I do
And
too.
God, I just, anyway, just read Rhona Morgan, please. And real quick,
Such a good
when we were
story.
talking about iterations of hockey, I didn't mention Lainey Davis's Stag Brothers
Oh, yeah. Well,
because
and her second gen that she's doing
The
now.
last three on her, that series, they were all hockey players. And she shared, and we'll be getting some more hockey from her come
Oh,
spring.
nice.
So, and she's a fan, and she's also like an athlete herself. She plays
Oh,
a
yeah.
women's league soccer every
Yeah.
week.
Yeah, they do. And when it was snowing, they were like shoveling the field, not the snowstorm we had recently, because Lainey got all that shit too, because she's near me. But yeah, she posted that they were like shoveling like the snow off the field and
And oftentimes her heroines will be athletes too, or something dynamic about them,
Yeah.
artists, or she
She's
always just
very
has
into
really
like,
smart heroines.
yes, she
Yeah.
does.
So, okay. So that's it. Those are our books of the week. Make sure you join us back here on Wednesday for our discussion of, I think we're doing The Proposal by Adriana Lack. We're going to talk about one book this month, you guys. I
I
promise.
mean, this is the plan, but it could change.
I
So
don't think
you're
it'll
not
change.
guaranteed on anything.
I don't think it'll change. I have it on my Kindle, really trying to be good.
It was a shorter one too. I was really happy when this one got
Oh,
picked
was it?
because I think that's the shortest one, so I
Oh,
still have to read
nice.
it
Nice.
too.
Although, I mean, I did enjoy J.R. Ward, and I'm really looking forward to Ashley Bennett, with, her Muscles and Monsters. So
But
I'm,
it has been a month.
but yeah. Well, someone said that to me today. They said, really, if you look at last January, February to this one, you really have had a lot of shit between, Mike and,
2025 was not good to
well, and
you, and
2026 isn't being any
2026 has,
kinder.
yeah.
no, it has not been a kind year either.
But it's
Here's
okay.
to 2027.
It's Lunar New Year. I figure if we burn some stuff and open some windows, maybe that'll take all the bad out the door. I'm willing to set things on fire, Leah, for the chance of just like 2 days of not chaos.
Okay.
I'll get a fire extinguisher. It'll be okay.
Safety first.
Safety first. Make sure you check out our on the shelf in the show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. It says that we'll have a list of books, but I don't even know if we know what books we talked
Yeah, there's probably not going to be a list for
There are
tonight because there were a
tons.
lot
Check
of
the
books.
transcripts, people. Check
Yeah.
the
Well, there are
transcripts.
tons of hockey book lists on the
Yeah.
website ourselves in the
Yes.
pour over section. We have stuff over on Kindle or on Pinterest, and I think there's stuff also on Substack that we've put up, maybe.
If not, we can do
We
that.
can. If you need a hockey book rec, hit us up. If you have a
Just
book
message
or
us.
an author that you think we should be reading, because I did see in the comments somebody asked about Chelsea Curto.
Oh, she's on my list of ones to
We
check
haven't
out.
read her yet either,
So
but
if
she
you
is on
have a
our
place for us
list.
to start for her, let us know, because we would definitely like to check out some of these newer authors. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. We'd love to have you over on the Discord. If you loved this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Your support helps bring more exciting content to you every week. Anyway, thank you everyone for hanging out with us for this episode. Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.